WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for ya.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
It's Monday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of Raw Post Show. Right here on the Wild Talk Arena, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211 chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use Creator Code Rocket Soccer, Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite shop, because hashtag Epic Carter, we're here. It is a Monday night, and the road to WWE in Mexico goes to Monday Night Raw. And we get to talk about it. I am the producer, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Oh, we had things happen on the show. It got interesting tonight. And perhaps a tad kinky? I don't know.
We will get into the writer kinks here in a little while. But Monday Night Brawl featured one of the matches for the World Heavyweight Championship title shot in the first round tournament. It was Penta versus Laredo Kid. Penta getting the win in a pretty good match. It was good to see someone different in Laredo Kid from AAA on Monday Night Raw.
It was, and I like that they're doing the tournament on Monday Night Raw, so, you know, obviously cross-promotion, that's always good, but the fact that we get to see Penta working with new and other people, and we just get to see new and other people from AAA in general, like, exposure is good.
Exposure.
And the match was super fun.
It was a super fun match. We will get to see two more matches next week on Monday Night Raw. But one man who was not, you know, happy that he was excluded was Dominic Mysterio. Kathy Kelly was talking to Rey Mysterio. He said Penta, talked about the Penta match. He said Roman Reigns would have his hand fall, whoever he defends the title against in Mexico. Dragon Lee showed up and thanked Rey for giving him a spot in the tournament. Rey, you know, you earned it. Then Dom showed up and was issued, why aren't I now? I'm the greatest luchadora of all time. Rey said, I didn't know you wanted another handout, kid. And said that's what made you a jackass in the first place. Dom asked why Rey handed a spot to this jackass. Lee said he was going to talk to him Pierce and he would see Dom in the ring. Dom said he would like to see Lee in the ring and show him why he is the greatest Mysterio of all the times. Which led to Dom and Dragon Lee having a good match, with Dragon Lee getting the win, no interference from the Judgment Day.
My God, miracles can happen. Somebody check the temperature in hell and make sure it didn't freeze over.
Then Big Cass showed up and attacked Dragon Lee.
It was after the match, so maybe hell is just temporary.
And it wasn't someone from Judgment Day. So there was that. So Big Cass lays out Dragon Lee. Then Javon Evans tapes his fist, comes running to the ring. They start for a brawl. He went for the OG cutter. Big Cass laid him out, dropped him with a big boot, and left him laying.
I mean, it's interesting. Let's see where they go with it. I don't know. I'm not feeling Big Cass yet. So we'll see.
He big dude. He beat up people. I mean, It's fine. Byron Saxton was backstage interviewing Logan Paul and the rest of the Vision. Braun Breaker couldn't give a damn what's going on. He was very stone-faced. Maxine talked about how Akira doesn't stand a chance against Austin Theory. Breaker continues to stare. Braun Breaker gets asked by Byron Saxton what he thinks of Obafemi. Saxton, I like him. Do you think he's the future? Byron goes, that's what Brock said. Breaker said, you sound like Paul Heyman. So it was Austin Theory versus Akira Tozawa. Austin Theory gets the win. There was more stuff going on after the match was happening. They were going to do some more damage to Tozawa. They went to get a chair. The producers stop him. As they do, Braun Breaker's in the ring. Spear says he's about to set up the spear Tozawa until Obafemi's music hit. Theory got taken out by Oba, and then Oba and Braun Breaker stared at one another. Braun Breaker started to smile. Then, later on, we're in the back. Braun Breaker finds Paul Heyman. He asks, if you saw what happened? Heyman's like, yeah, I did. Oba got in my face again. Indeed, he did. Breaker wondered if he could ask Heyman a question. Heyman, you can ask me anything you like. Do you think Obafemi's the future of WWE? I have great love and respect for you, Braun, personally and professionally. I respect Oba. Heyman said Oba did everything he said he was going to do to Brock Lesnar, and he has to respect that. Breaker's like, that's not what I asked. I asked, is he the future of WWE? Heyman said, I think you're starting to think that Oba's the future of WWE, and that's the problem. Heyman said he would continue to respect Oba until Braun Breaker shows him that Oba isn't worthy of his respect. Breaker went, okay, and nodded and walked away.
Very interesting developments there.
The only thing what surprised me was we got the confrontation week two. I thought it would have been a couple more weeks before we got to the confrontation between Oba and Braun Breaker. They didn't do anything to each other, but they had the confrontation. I thought it would have been a little bit longer. But maybe we're setting up Sunday night's main event between Oba and Braun Breaker, if that's where the direction they're going. Or they're saving it for Money in the Bank. I don't know.
We'll have to see. Like, I was a little surprised that they went ahead and did the confrontation now, but I want to see where they go with it. Because I think you can't really have them avoid each other for too long.
No, but I thought we would get one or two more weeks where Braun Breaker's kind of building up angst.
You know, I don't think building up angst is exactly an issue for him. He seems to be very laser focused on things. So, like, once he decides, yeah, I want that, he's going to go for it. And so he just kind of stewed in his own pot for like a week and he's like, yeah, no, I'm good. I think Oba may toy with him a little bit just to whip him up even more, because obviously Oba knows what Braun is capable of. So it's nah, he may stall him out. He may mess with him, or they may go right for it. I don't know. Like, the fun is always in the chase. So we'll have to see.
We will have to see. Stephanie Vaccaro came to the ring. She said she's missed being in the ring, the Raw, the fans, everyone. She thanked everyone for her support, but she also missed seeing the Judgment Day get scared when they see her coming. She said, I've beat up Raquel Rodriguez 1,000 times. I can do it again. Roxanne's a dead woman, and well, she knows the women's world champion Liv Morgan is scared. Kara said they should both be scared because they both know that Morgan has something that belongs to her. That something? Well, Becky Lynch wants to know what the something is. She said Stephanie seems to be gone often. As she's gone often as long as, you know, as much as she's gone, she's there as well. And she can't tell if Vaccaro's a badass who rushed back once before, or if her body gave up so that her mind doesn't have to. She said, talked about how, you know, we both want the same thing, but the women's title needs me. If you want to beat up Liv, that's fine. I'll sit here, eat the popcorn, you can beat up Liv Morgan all day long. But the title doesn't belong to Stephanie. It belongs to Becky Lynch. It needs Becky Lynch. Vaccaro told Becky that she would show her what she's all about. She leaves. Cool. Liv then attacks Becky from behind. She hits the backsploder. Stephanie gets back in the ring, goes to clothesline Liv. Liv ducked and scampered out, and then went face to face with Becky Lynch. Told her to stay out of her business. They had one more confrontation when Stephanie turned back around, and they started yapping at each other one more time. I like this.
I'm here for all of this. Like, Becky and Stephanie, sign me the fuck up.
Yeah.
Sign me the fuck up. Here's my money. Just take it.
Pretty much. Like
But they've danced around each other. They've teased it a little bit. And now we're finally going to get it. So I think this will be very, very good. Like, Stephanie cut a great promo. And then Becky, you can tell Becky is working to Stephanie a little bit. Like, you could see that in this promo. Becky was still being Becky, but she was doing things just a little bit differently to work with Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Because there is a little bit of a language barrier. It's not like to any severe degree, but you can just tell that Becky was doing things a little bit differently to accommodate Stephanie. And that was really nice to see.
Other people have issues with the Judgment Day. Well, that's Sol Ruka. And she was interviewed backstage talking about that. And once she gets through the Roxanne and Raquel, she'll go back chasing what's hers is the Intercontinental Championship. And she was asked if she has the tag team partners. And she's like, yeah, there's other people that don't want revenge against the Judgment Day. Cue Danhausen. He offered to be the tag team partner for Rukahausen. He'll do it for a big discount. Maybe a little discount. Ruka's like, the spot's been filled. Danhausen asked Saxton for money. Led to Sol Ruka and Io Sky as the tag team partner for Sol Ruka, taking on Raquel and Roxanne of the Judgment Day. Sol and Io get the win in a pretty good match.
I enjoy this a lot. Like, I actually like the pairing of Sol and Io. There's good energy there. So it was a lot of fun.
And again, and the Judgment... no interference.
My God, it's like they're listening to this show twice in one night.
How about that?
How about that? Honestly, they have to know. They have to know that people are tired of it. Because they see it. They follow that stuff on social. They know. And it's at some point, it's like, y'all just keep going back to the same thing. When are you going to start doing stuff different? And every once in a while, you do have to throw us the bone of, hey, look, no cheating in a Judgment Day match. Let's go. Right? Because they have to be able to stand on their own. If you want people to take them seriously, which honestly, people have not done so for a very long time, you have to have them be able to prove every once in a great while that yes, they are capable. They just don't want it. They're just lazy. Which is different. Like, having them always cheat to win proves that they're incapable. That's why it's like, for Liv, it's especially important that it's like, she has to be able to win on her own. She can't always hide behind Roxanne and Raquel.
Yeah.
Even if it's only very slightly. If you want her to be taken seriously as a champion, a fighting champion, in comparison to people like Becky Lynch or Stephanie Vaquer, some of the other people that are now back in the fold, she has to be able to stand on her own and defend her title on her own. That's just it. And I'm not saying she's incapable, because she is certainly very capable of defending that title. We just haven't seen her do it in a really super long time. And that's the issue.
Monday Night Raw opened with Corey Graves and McCall talk about how Royce Keys is out of action for a little bit of time with a bruised larynx and a cervical strain because of Jacob Fatu. Solo Sokoa came out mocking Jey Uso in the crowd, which was hysterical. Jey Uso came out to the ring. Jay's like, you really want to do this, Solo? You really want to do this? Solo's making comedy shots at Jey, and then says he's not coming back to the family. He said everybody in Virginia loves where he's at. And some even chanted for Solo. Solo said he had a message for Roman Reigns, but Jey told him to shut up. In fact, shut up. Told him to shut his cocky, spoiled, disrespect ass up. Jey said Solo was there because of the family. We were the ones who brought you in. He said he would take care of Solo tonight and challenge him to a match. Jey said when he wins, Solo has to return to the bloodline. Jey delivered his warning shot. Solo ducked and asked, everyone's okay? And then did his own warning shot to Jey. That was funny.
I really love what they're doing with Solo. He's really good. It's super entertaining.
He's just being him.
Yeah, and he's the annoying little brother who's just being a dick to everybody. But you can tell he's having fun with it. And he's enjoying it. And it feels much more in his wheelhouse than some of the heel stuff he ever did. Because, like, you could see it when he was a heel. But, like, this, he's in a really good place with this. And you see that come through week in and week out. So I love this. It's a great balance to Jey, because it reminds you that, hey, that's how Jey and Jimmy used to be before Roman got his hands on them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the difference, because, you know, Jey and Jimmy and Solo, they're all brothers, right? So they it's are. Like, you see the before and you see the after. So it's like, no, don't put Solo back to the way that he was. He's cool like this. We like him like this. So, but the Kinky Writer's back, guys.
We'll talk more about that in a moment. LA Knight was being talked, interviewed backstage by Kathy Kelly, recalled, you know, he's going back, Roman said, get back a lot in the back of the line for a title shot. He said, there's a tournament for a shot at Roman Reigns, and he tends to win it, but it's for Luchador, says Kathy, and he goes, how convenient. Solo showed up. Solo recalled the bloodline attacking Royce Keys, and you heard what happened, and Solo said the same thing's going to happen to him tonight, and that LA Knight would be next. And LA Knight said they teamed for one night only at SummerSlam, and that's it. Kaput. No more. Solo said LA Knight doesn't get it. He says it's not Knight versus Reigns. It's Knight versus the entire bloodline. Solo said he knows LA Knight doesn't need his help, but at least he can say that he warned LA Knight. LA Knight also then complained to Adam Pearce about, you know, not getting a shot at Roman Reigns, and Adam Pearce like, you know me for a long time. Whenever after this tournament's over, we'll see about getting you in the spot for the title shot to be number one contender. Then he ran into Jacob Fatu. Fatu said LA Knight doesn't get it and took issue with him talking about Roman Reigns and his family. LA Knight took some shots back at Jacob, who told him to shut up. Wrong guy, Knight said. Fatu told him, no, right guy. And then rattled off his normal catchphrases, sending a warning to LA Knight, leading to your main event. Solo Sikoa, Jey Uso. Solid main event. Jey Uso wins with help from Jimmy Uso. And now Solo Sikoa, no longer fun-loving, he's going to be delivered back on a silver platter to the bloodline.
Maybe.
I mean, that was the deal.
That means Solo has to honor it. That means he's going to honor it.
I don't understand what they're doing with the bloodline. I mean, you have a guy who's now, who's over now, forcing into the bloodline, and he's probably going to be silent like Jacob, and you made LA Knight look dumb because he didn't help Solo when he needed it, and now the numbers are against him more over than ever. I just don't get it. I mean, LA Knight said he wasn't going to help Solo, so doesn't mean it makes him look dumb. He was warned for that, so he knows he should know what's coming there. As far as the Solo stuff, it's the story they want to play out. I mean, he's getting over somewhat as the babyface. Yes, fans are reacting to him. Yes. For how long would it work? I'm not particularly sure. And again, I don't want to judge things first before they happen. And if he's silent again in the bloodline in a couple weeks, next week, then we'll talk about it. But I can't judge it until I see the full story play out. Like, I don't mind how Jacob is acting, because he's better in this role than the role was in.
I think, and this is my personal opinion on this, is I think they're going to have everything go to hell this time. And Roman's not going to have the same level of control as what he had before. Because you do have the wild cards in Solo and Jacob. Now, where Jacob really doesn't want to be there. And again, I think he's just sort of biding his time until he can get out and he can get away. And he's kind of maybe playing them all for fools. And then you have Solo come in, and you could have Solo and Jacob team up against Jimmy and Jay, take them down, and then they go for Roman and they take Roman down together. And they could even be the ones that get rid of Roman if you really wanted to go that far with it. And they're the ones that retire Roman Reigns out of WWE. Or Jacob does it, or Solo does it. Doesn't have to be the two of them together. But I feel like there's going to be way more tension in this, just because I think Solo is going to fight a little bit more, which could inspire Jacob to fight a little bit more. But it's hard to know. Because, yeah, I agree. If they just bring Solo back in and they revert Solo back to being a heavy, and he's quiet like Jacob, and you basically do the full Bloodline 2.0, it's boring because we've already seen it and we don't need to see it again. But I feel like Solo's going to fight it. I think he's going to, they're kind of doing the J formula on both Jacob and Solo, but in different iterations, where Jacob didn't necessarily fight the fact that he had to go into the bloodline once he lost. I think Solo's going to, where he's going to roll the dice and he's going to look at Jay and Jimmy and he's going to be like, nah, you cheated. That's bullshit. I want a rematch. I want to go win again. And I don't want to say double or nothing, because there's really nothing to like double or nothing. But like, basically, I'm going all in. No interference. No nothing. We see who beats who, and Solo could get away. Because Jay and Jimmy can't have interference. Or Jimmy can't have interference. Like, you could have Solo fight Jimmy, and Jimmy's the one that loses Solo.
Or it just leads to Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa, and they do the same thing where they do tribal combat, Roman wins, and then puts him in the Bloodline.
That's so boring.
I understand that, but that's where if you're doing Double or Nothing, because a promise is one thing. Whether he rejoins or not, who knows? We'll see how much of a man, if he's a man of his word. Because with Tribal Combat, that usually is like the thing that enforces like the stipulation with like how Jacob had it, not just, yeah, I said I'll do it. That's like family blood type thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I believe when I see it, because I thought they would have done the same thing with Jacob. Again, watch it. I'm just going to watch it play out and see what they do. The story's working. It's getting people to talk about it. So they're doing a good job in that sense. May not be everyone's cup of tea, but the story's working. And when it works, they're going to continue it. Think about it. If the story wasn't working, people wouldn't be reacting to Solo like they were. Or they won't react to Jay, or they won't be reacting to Jacob. The story's working. Let's hear on the internet. Who knows? But the crowd who pays the ticket, they're putting ones in the air and they're enjoying what's going on. And to them, that's what matters. If people are coming, putting them ones up, they ain't going to stop the story yet. When they stop putting the ones up and acknowledging, then we got a problem. Twitter voices, podcast voices, they're less important. We're not the ones buying the tickets. If you're buying the ticket, it's more upsetting for me because they could be doing so much more with Jacob and Solo. But I feel like it'll start making Roman seem more heelish if he gets Solo to get him a cup of coffee like he said he would. Can't judge it. Okay, so I'll ask this one question because we're almost done. What would they be doing with Jacob if he wasn't in the Bloodline story right now? That's the question you ask yourself. What would they be doing with him? Would he be the Intercontinental Champion? No, because they went with Chad Gable, so you can't push him there. Is he feuding with someone on SmackDown that he has already feuded with? I don't know who he would be in the feud with right now. Jacob also lost 2 world title matches this year. 2. So what would Jacob be doing? Is he your world champion? I think people would like that. But the guy who puts the one up is your champion. Right. So you could be upset about it. I don't disagree. But the role they put him in is better than him not doing anything in general, if you think about it like that. But that's just me.
I'm going to trust for right now. I'm not. It's kind of like the Cena thing. It's like, let's see what they do with this. Let's see where they go with this, because this could be good. It's obvious that they're trying to make Jacob. It's obvious they're trying to make Solo in this, and they're trying to bring them up a little bit more. So I'm going to trust that whatever they're doing is going to work, because you can tell it is the same formula that they use with Jimmy, or excuse me, with Jay, and they're trying to kind of two for it right now. But I will stand by the fact that I think Solo isn't going to fall in line like they want him to. And I think he is going to challenge Roman just a little bit. But I still stand by the fact that I believe that Solo's going to walk out next week and be like, this is bullshit. You cheated. It wasn't clean. You know it wasn't clean. And we aren't doing it like that.
And I think at the end of the day, this all is going to lead to one big implosion.
Yeah.
Whether it's 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, they're building to this big explosion of all the people Roman is surrounding himself with. And the idea will be, how strong is the family after the family implodes? Because eventually, egos will get in the way, buttons will be pushed, and something will go down. But you can't do that in 2 months.
No.
That's going way too fast. So we're starting that ride of getting everybody back in order, and someone's going to push one too many buttons. That'll probably be Jay or Jimmy or someone like that, and everyone will explode.
Because it's really important to know that in this iteration of the Bloodline, Jay and Jimmy are much more complicit than they were the first time. And they're actually doing more of Roman's dirty work than Roman is.
And I think they're doing more dirty work just to do dirty work than anything
else.
They're
riding the power trip of it. Especially Jay. Like, Jay is riding the power trip of being the one in charge. And Roman's letting him. That's really, 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 really important. After a while, they got complicit, but in the beginning, they weren't. But they didn't have any power the last time like they do this time, because Roman was much more present the last time, whereas now he's not. So Jay and Jimmy are sort of the ones like overseeing everything, and Jacob's right there with them. Jacob isn't relishing it nearly as much, I don't think, based on what I can tell and how he's playing it. But it is also important to note that for this iteration of the group, Roman has hurt or wronged every single person in this version of the bloodline, and they never got their apology or their catharsis really for what happened the first time, right? Like Jay and Jimmy and Roman kind of kissed and made up, but Roman has never apologized directly for what happened before. It was just sort of kiss, kiss, hug, hug. Okay, I forgive you. Let's move on. And that's how they did it. So I'm going to agree with Rock. I think there is an implosion coming. And I think this could be Roman getting his comeuppance a little bit. Because when he lost the title, he just left. And everything fell apart because he just left. Right? So, like, Roman's never gotten his comeuppance for anything he's really done in regards to the family or the group. And I think that's going to be extremely important. And that's probably going to be Jacob or Solo's redemption arc. Is that they are going to be the one to take down Roman and seize control of the family, because it's like, you are not fit to be head of the family. I'm going to take that from you. And I think that's where we're going, and that's where we're heading. Like, because you have destroyed this family. You have made it into something that is vile and disgusting and selfish and awful and all the things, right? So we're going to fix that. It's not going to take another 4 years. I think it's going to be Mania. Is going to be like the start of the end. Like, you could even start it at Rumble if you wanted. That's a great place to start things. But I think they're building towards Mania. The storyline going past 2027, it depends on if it takes. Like, that's the whole thing. If it's not working and the fans aren't enjoying it, or they aren't taking to it, and they aren't talking about it, or they're bashing it if they are talking about it, then WWE is going to pivot. We've seen that. We've watched them do it. So if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and they'll do something else. Like, I'm sure they're very well aware of the fact that, like, they're walking a tightrope on this one, because they understand that Bloodline was cool. Bloodline went as long as it could, and nobody's really that excited for it to be back, because it's just going to be the same old, same old.
Except the people in the building. And that's what they judge it on. People in the building are excited. So we'll see. If people keep buying the tickets, they're going to continue to run with it. So we'll see what happens. But that's it. We're done. We're out of here. This has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talker Network. We're live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern for The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have a video game review. We're talking Madden, everybody. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
It is. That season is Madden NFL 27. We'll talk about it Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, it's another edition of CB Radio. Sunday night is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. The WTR Fantasy Season 23 edition live this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Post Show. When Raw lands, we're live to talk about it. Yeah, Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use Kirk or Ryan Sock or
Vince M. Ward.
The Fortnite option. We're Epic Game Store, or when you buy Spooderman, The Simpsons, and more. Where?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LinsWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimLinsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0.
We'll review Madden Thursday on The Rack, and we'll be back next Monday when Raw ends to talk all about it live right here on the Wall of Talk Radio Network.
WildTalkRadio.com.